today's show. Naming rights for conferences are coming. The secret to winning the national championship. And producer Joe hits the golden arches.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
How soon are we getting the O'Reilly Auto Parts 12?
Ross Dellinger.
They thought you were a homeless man in the corner.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Well, if you're Iowa in the same state with Iowa State, I'm dropping all state.
Here's Pat, Ross, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Everyone who is a father, had a good Father's Day, at least the non-deadbeats out there. I wish Father, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Some of them not so good.
Happy Father's Day to everybody except the deadbeats. Yeah. Happy Monday.
I know our listeners wouldn't do that, but hope you got the big piece of chicken at dinner. People left you mostly alone. Yeah, it's a great day, isn't it, Pat?
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful day.
I was working.
I was working.
In an NFL stadium.
Swim swam competition.
Swim swam competition. Hey, my middle son came through with a tip on a story that actually.
All right.
He gave me a good.
I did see that story. That is very good. The woman won and her brother watched at the grave of her.
Of their father.
Yeah, it was a little. It's a little emotional.
Yeah.
It was a Mitchell 40 tip.
It was a Clayton 40 tip.
Clayton 40
I thought when tip. He said tip, I thought he had a tip on the like a horse. Like, are you betting these things? Okay. Anyway, big news in college sports came last week, reading from a Ross Dellinger report. Big 12 conference is exploring a naming rights partnership that may be one of the most lucrative and unique sponsorship deals in college athletics history. In meetings with league administrators 2 weeks ago in Dallas, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark formally introduced a concept to sell the naming rights of the conference in a deal that would be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Multiple sources tell Yahoo Sports under the proposal, the conference's name would undergo a significant alteration, prominently incorporating a sponsor's name in the title, a common trend among bowl games, such as the Capital One Orange Bowl, the ReliaQuest Bowl, which was formerly known as the Outback Bowl. Everything's for sale, and let's just get to it, I guess. Like, no more, no more pretending. Yeah. How soon are we getting the O'Reilly Auto Parts 12?
Well, right now, pending a lot more conversation and obviously a lot of hurdles because these things take time and have complications. They are zeroing in on a deal with Allstate. It's not done. Like I said, there are some complications with all this, it sounds like. But this has been something going on for about 5 or 6 months with the Big 12. They have, like most in college athletics, right, they expected a athlete revenue sharing model to begin. And so they started to kind of work on how to generate additional revenue. Everybody's trying to figure out how to generate revenue, especially if you're not in the SEC and Big Ten. You need more revenue. Everybody needs more money. And now they need more money to pay players directly. And so they're trying to find that money. So we could soon, within, I would say, by early next year, maybe by the end of the fall or so football season, you know, we could have some kind of announcement from the Big 12 about Allstate or some other partner. And then there's other stuff going on, right? The Conference USA has been talking to Globe Life to be the Globe Life Conference or the Globe Life Conference USA. Oh. And I believe the American in Mountain West are exploring the same thing. I don't think they're down the road as the other two. But, welcome to the commercialization of the full commercialization of college athletics. All the rules to legislate competitive equity in college sports are falling, including the rules that cost containment rules that handcuff schools and conferences from earning additional revenue through these sorts of things. And all those rules are starting to fall. So as we discussed, I think a couple weeks ago, right, the first kind of, I guess one of the first forays into this was post the settlement was the NCAA allowing corporate logos to be on football fields. So that's coming as well. And there's going to be other stuff, right? There's no end in sight on what you can paste on a stadium, field, conference name.
Let's do it. Yeah, it's coming. Pat?
Yep. I can't summon much outrage on this one. The names of the conferences haven't made any damn sense for years. The Big Ten went to 11 in the 90s and kept going from there and still called themselves the Big Ten. The Big 12 has 16. The Atlantic Coast Conference is on the Pacific Coast as well. So, you know, I can't get too weepy about the traditions that are attached to the names of the conferences. Go ahead and sell them, especially, I pointed out last week, if it's going to keep people from cutting sports. If this is whatever money needs to be brought in, if the alternative is, well, you know, we don't have enough money, so we're whacking sports, I'd say go ahead and sell the field, sell the jerseys, sell the name of the conference, give me the Wendy's Baconator Big Ten. I don't care.
The league that held on to the purity the best was the Pac-12, which was the Pac-10, right? And yeah. I mean, yeah,
it was a Pac-8. Pac-8.
Then they went Pac-10. Now they did add Arizona and Arizona State, which are not technically on the Pacific, but let's not get too carried away. It's pretty close.
Yeah. They're contiguous and in the time zone.
Good enough. Sometimes they're in the time zone, right?
Sometimes,
like half the year. Phoenix confuses me, but that's all right. And then they went to Pac-12 when they added Utah and Colorado. Those were not, but, you know, close enough. Close enough. Mm-hmm. And guess what that got them? They don't exist anymore. I think they're calling themselves like the Beavs and Cougs After Dark now.
Well, and Dan, you remember, like, this was 10, 12 years ago. Pat, you remember this? You know, that one of the things the Big 12 is doing also is exploring the private equity situation. Well, Pac-12 had a chance to do that. If you guys remember, like 10, 12 years ago, they had a chance to get a lot of money fast by entering a private equity deal, and they decided against doing it. Presidents were a little apprehensive of it, and presidents still are, by the way. I don't know. You know, if you got these two things the Big 12 is looking at, naming rights and private equity, naming rights has way more support, I think, within the league to do than the private equity route.
All right. So the naming rights, so it'd be like the Allstate. How many are they going to have? 14 or 12?
The name emerging right now is the Allstate 12.
Allstate.
So they would keep, they're wanting to retain 12. I know that doesn't, a lot of people say, doesn't make too many sense. I see Pat shaking his head, and I understand it, right? There's 16 teams in the conference. I think those within the league believe they're more known for the 12 than the big. So they're removing the big. The plan is to remove the big and keep the 12. That's been the discussion the last month, is Allstate 12 is what they would be.
Okay, so there's 16 teams, but they want to keep the 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And they think this is going to help.
Well, it's going to help financially.
What does it do?
Because,
what does the 12 do?
Help them? Well, it's going to help financially.
Well, I get the Allstate part. It's the 12 I'm hung up on.
Yeah.
So they think like the average person, if you hear Allstate 12, you go, oh, yeah, Kansas State.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oklahoma Baylor, State, Iowa yeah, State. Totally got sure. this. Like,
yeah. I think the number 12 in a league, in the league's name, for whatever reason, you know, they believe there's a connection point, right, with 12 in their league. Just like with, you know, Big 10, I guess you could say. I don't know.
How long is that Big Ten commercial going to be this year where they go
a little everything popping up across
yeah.
the
– Yes. Oh. Yeah,
they win the.
I love that Big Ten commercial. By the way, I love it. I love the little cartoon things.
They're gonna have their adding.
But now,
I want the SEC version of that. I need that.
The Big
as well.
Ten can win the Electoral College. They're in so many states. Like, what is this thing? That's how they should do election night. They should have that.
They should,
right?
They
right. Should. All these networks are struggling with their ratings. Election night, like all of a sudden, in a little, we won Kansas, and they have a little pop. There's a sunflower or something. I don't know what. Like
a sunflower. Trump holding a sunflower pops up. Biden.
Yeah, get the guy in there.
Biden wins Delaware.
He's like tanning himself at Lewis Beach or whatever. Like, no, okay, we don't need that. All right, so. Allstate 12, it's just, I keep laughing. It becomes more and more like NASCAR because as a reporter, okay, you cover NASCAR, you go, and then you're like, okay, this is like whatever guy wins it. I don't want to pick the current drivers, but let's just say, you know, it's like Tony Stewart and you know, or just pick a normal guy. Jimmy Smith wins, and you go, hey, Jimmy, how was it winning the race? He's like, well, you know, Allstate 12 Chevy, O'Reilly's Auto Part, Bucky's Waffle House, Ford tires were great. And you're like, come on, man. I'm trying to write a column here. I appreciate it. You don't even get sentences. They just utter. It's just this verbiage. They're just reading their sleeves. Yeah. Like, we're coming to it, right? Like, the Allstate 12, that is a race car. The Allstate 12 was handling through the corners. The State Farm 8 was up in the marbles. They couldn't get out. Like, go ahead.
When I first heard about this, probably now over a month ago, my original reaction was, why not just do Allstate Big 12? Right? Like, Capital One Orange.
No one would call it the Allstate Big 12 then. They just call it Big 12.
Exactly. Yeah. No, really, it's about. It's about us. Let's be clear. It's about the media and how we write it, how we present it. And we're not going to write Allstate Big 12. None of us write Allstate Sugar Bowl. We write Sugar Bowl.
Give me a little.
Right. That's another thing, by the way. I mentioned all the complications in this. Allstate sponsors plenty of other things in college athletics outside of the Big 12. Right. So Allstate Sugar Bowl. How about the Allstate Nets, the basketball court,
and the football?
Yeah, so you're going to have another. Yeah, you're going to have another.
I think that's their best one.
Yeah, good. You're in good hands. Yeah. So that you're going to continue that sponsorship while you're the name of another conference. So if you're like in the SEC, Big Ten, whatever, like behind your Nets or your goal, whatever
rival conference name.
Do
you? So that was my one question out of this. Also, I looked, Allstate, I believe, by far is the, this was a few years ago data, but maybe 2021, was by far the biggest advertising buyer on college football telecasts. If they're going to pay $100 million to a conference, are they taking that money out of their TV expenditure? Because then ESPN and Fox may say, I don't really like this plan. If all the people that are advertising for major dollars on our networks are suddenly going to start trying to name conferences, is that going to create a conflict of monetary interest there?
There's no conflicts of monetary interest. Mahomes and Otto, 12. He's a State Farm. How much are we overpaying for insurance? How much are we overpaying for insurance?
A lot.
These commercials are everywhere.
Absolutely ripoff.
Get Cruz on this. Call your guys, Ross. Why does the insurance companies have so much money to fund all this stuff?
Ring them right up again, Dan.
Well, you know them better than I do.
To the U.S. Senate.
I'd be happy to talk to Ted Cruz about this issue. I don't have a personal line of communication to him like you do. I mean, their commercials are everywhere. We got Flo. You got Jake from State Farm. You got, I mean, I don't know.
That damn Emu.
Emu.
Liberty Mutual.
Emu. I mean, all this stuff. They're just endless. And now, where would we be if we weren't overpaying for home and auto? Bundle it so you can save the Big 12. Would you? All right, how about this? Would you be, if you're a Big 12 fan, are you more inclined to switch your home auto? Get the boat in there, all you Iowa State drunks out on that that lake.
Lake Uncle Bokey.
Get your, but your boat on there. Would you switch to help the conference?
That is
residual a great NIL.
Question. I that's always been my, what I've wondered is like, do people sit there and watch TV and these commercials make them switch their insurance? I can't imagine. And now, is it really going to, like, conference loyalty? Would it make you do something like that?
They do. They must. It must, because they do the ads.
I guess.
But what conference loyalty is a different bit. And then if you like hate the, like, I don't know, like you sit there and go, I can't be with Allstate because I'm an SEC guy.
Yeah. Well, if you're Iowa in the same state with Iowa State, I'm dropping Allstate. I don't mind. I'm not going to help the Cyclones.
Yeah, it's like that. Their beer wars, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is a good one for the dynamic here where Ross patiently and very diplomatically and explains the issue, and we just make fun of it.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Unfair to Ross. He's just
no. It's fine. It's entertaining. I hear from people often who
poor Ross,
who love this dynamic that plays out on the pod quite often.
I don't think we're making fun of this one this much. We're not like pushing back. I push back a little hard sometimes with Ross.
Well, there's an
I shoot the messenger.
We all have an understanding.
This is needed. I'm all for this. Yeah. I mean, Pac-12 did none of these things. They no longer exist. Yeah, okay, exactly. Listen, this is what you got to do. Whatever. Like I said, a couple when we talked about the patches on the uniform, I don't like the patch on the uniform. I like the pure uniform. Yeah. I think one of the one of the greatest things about college football and basketball is the uniform. I was watching College World Series this weekend, right? It was Friday night. Unbelievable game. Tennessee, Florida State. Tennessee comes roaring back and wins. They are a great team. And they're leading the jello shot thing. We'll get to that. But I don't think Vols are going to get stopped either way, on and off the field, in the jello shot and on the field. The Vols are taking this thing in Omaha. But the uniforms, like, you tune in and both teams' uniforms were just, they were just totally crisp. I mean, it was just fantastic. And you immediately knew these two teams and the brands and the colors and the something. I could not name. I don't watch baseball at all. It's pretty much only thing I will watch is the College World Series. And I'm not sitting here saying that was the only game I watched this weekend, but I did watch. I think I saw like an inning of a North Carolina game. But it's just bang. There it is. And so I love that. And I don't want a patch on that, those uniforms, the football uniforms, the whatever, where I go, oh. But when they put it kind of went away when they put the Nike swoosh on the Penn State one back in the day. Right. So this is where we're at. I don't like it. I'd prefer it, but I understand. You got to, you know, like you said, there's a Vistaprint, right? What is Vistaprint? They're printing things?
Nobody prints 2024, anything anymore.
There's printing? Like,
I haven't had a printer in 10 years.
We have a printer because my kids are in school and you still got to print stuff, but like getting the ink is it's a nightmare. I can't wait to just throw that thing out. I'm going to go office space on that thing. But like Vistaprint is on the damn Boston Celtics. Like, so this is where we're at. It's going NASCAR. There's going to be patches up and down the arms. Everyone's going to do it. Hey, as long as we're playing college football, I'll deal with it, but
there will be some people who will stroke when that happens at Notre Dame, Penn State, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. But I will default back to if it helps wrestlers still have a program, I'm okay.
Yeah, jersey patches. I would think by 2027 that we'll have schools will be permitted to put corporate sponsors, probably only a limited amount and a limited size of patches on player jerseys. And shoot, I mean, what about a coach too? You need a coach's shirt? You know, I mean, look, the refs, the officials. I mean, this is coming, and we should all be prepared for it. And this is one of the doors that open when you implement rules to allow payment, which is like a business now. I mean, everybody's got to kind of like come to grips at the major college level that it really is not amateur sports anymore. Probably hasn't been in a while. It's a business, and it's going to be operated like a business, which means the commercialization.
I'm looking at a couple of Premier League jerseys, English Premier League soccer.
Oh,
I mean, these things are these franchises worth billions.
Yeah.
Global audience is insane. I mean, Liverpool, it says, is a swoosh on one chest. There is the LFC and the little like rooster, whatever they got up there. Someone's going to kill me for this. Chicken, this little chicken like thing.
Rooster or whatever.
That's this little chicken.
This is their actual logo. And then across the chest, it says Standard Chartered. That's the big, this is not just a little thing, right? Manchester United, right? Kind of a big deal. They got the Adidas. They got their crest. I don't know what's in the middle of that, like a lion maybe. I don't know. And then Team Viewer with a logo across the chest. Like the team is secondary to the sponsor.
Yeah.
And that's just how it's going to be. And so you can see where this is going to be weird.
The naming rights thing, back to really quickly, the naming rights thing, the reaction around college athletics was really interesting. Because I think there were administrators, especially in SEC and Big Ten, who kind of shook their head at this. But then there was a couple phone calls I got from, for instance, the ACC, and it was, why the hell are we not doing this? And so it's been interesting mix to see. And then on the Group of Five level, we discussed pretty much every one of those conference commissioners are looking at some version of this. Conference USA probably further down the road than others. But it's interesting. If you are in a position in the Big Ten and SEC where you don't need to do this, right, you kind of look at it a different way.
Yeah, so a couple of points there. One, that once again, at least in terms of perception, this looks like Brett Yormark getting out in front, and maybe the ACC and Jim Phillips not quite being on that cutting edge and being more in a reacting position than a proacting position. Now, you know, different leagues, different constituents, and I could see
they'll still get plenty of
some
money.
People in the ACC, like pushing back, but then I could see others saying, "Hey, we're dying over here, allegedly, because we don't have the money, and we need to be doing this." Secondly, yeah, the SEC and the Big Ten don't need to do this, but they also can do it. And what if they eventually decide, you know what? If these other places are going to get $100 million, we'll go get $100 million, just stay that much further ahead than them. We'll get better, bigger name, more expensive sponsors and become the Wendy's Baconator Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't need to go to 18 teams either, but they
– No, right.
Jim Delaney didn't need to get a $20 million consulting bonus, but he could.
Yes.
The smaller leagues, forget it. You got to do it. I mean, I had a rung and gag for a while about the Atlantic Sun, the basketball league. I don't even think they play football. And that was just either a 2-star cruise ship or a smoke filled casino outside Jacksonville. Like, it's not really a conference, is it? Who actually named that? Like, that some of these could really get. I mean, do you care what the Northeast Conference's name is? The Metro Atlantic, the MAAC.
Yeah, the MAAC.
Maction is begging. I mean, you got to take your bucks. Yeah, take them.
No. Maction, look, they got some possibilities there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're making it.
But happen. Here's something. What if, and it's not really if, it's when a title sponsor changes, contracts up and doesn't renew? I mean, the league changes, right? We see it all the time in golf tournaments or in bowl games. Yeah. We saw it in bowl games.
Absolutely.
Conferences will just change names, I guess.
Yep. I mean, that's how you get the ReliaQuest after the Outback, after the whatever. Well, you know, the Outback was named for a steakhouse chain. And then ReliaQuest came in. So, yeah, that's just nothing is permanent. That's for sure. And we see that with stadium names, too. You know, they change every 10 years, 15 years, whatever the lease agreement is.
I mean, I think we could.
I can't keep up to all the different stadium names anymore.
I think we could all pour one out for the Poulon Weed Eater Independence Bowl. I mean, that really was the original.
Weren't they?
That was the original sin was the Poulon Weed Eater Independence Bowl, right?
Yeah. It was. Yep. Yeah, when the Independence Bowl added Poulon Weed Eater.
Weed Whacker Bowl.
Yeah. That got us going.
I mean, everyone still talks about that. They haven't even sponsored the thing since like 2010, I think, or something.
Yeah, they're on probably like their 23rd sponsor.
Became like it was like your coach is on the hot seat if you wound up at the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl. It was a bad seat. Like, it went exact opposite.
That's right.
Dan, let's talk about money.
Yeah, how much?
How much money? Yeah. Like the naming rights for the league is the Big 12. The number the Big 12 has discussed has been $500 million.
For how many years?
Over 10 years.
$50 million a year.
Right. Yeah.
$50 million a year.
Yeah. So you're talking about $3 to $4 million right. per school per year. Now, we discussed here the Jersey Patch thing. Jersey patches, or then the corporate logos on the football field. You know, the football field logos depends on what school it is, right? Depends on a lot of the brands and all this stuff, but that could be $2 to $5 to $7 million per year. Jersey patches are one of the more lucrative, from what I've been told. And that's just why eventually they'll institute this. I had someone tell me who does this for a living, like a school like Alabama, you know, the top 20, 30 programs. A jersey patch on football and basketball could generate $10 to $15 million a year. So it's pretty significant. So for one school, you know, that's one school. So that's some
one
good
patch.
Now that's at the highest level, but
I cannot wait for the NCAA subcommittee on how many patches we will allow.
It's the playing rule. It's the playing rules.
My head. Just let them put as many as they want.
Yeah. Rules oversight.
They will spend 3 years debating this. Always at a
the size, the location. Yes,
always at a hotel with the word Palm or Vista in it. seven. I think seven patches. No. Five. Let's meet again next year down Amelia Island. We'll discuss it. We'll table it for now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Would five patches be too much for the mental health of the athletes?
This is my thing, though. Be ready for the shock, because you talked about the sponsorships changing, and this is why I brought up the Premier League stuff. I probably didn't explain it well, but like, that's the jersey. Is your standard charter is what it says. It doesn't say Manchester United or whichever one they were. I think that was standard charter. So like, the jersey you had 2 years ago could be obsolete, because that's not what it looks like anymore, because the big, huge logo, like, and people have gotten used to it overseas. Because you buy a Boston Celtics jersey, it has a little patch that says Vista print, but that's not the Celtics part.
The hoity-toityest of the schools don't have their name on their jerseys because they don't need it. Like, there doesn't say Alabama on the jersey. It's the crimson jersey with the number, and then you got the A on the – or no, you got the numbers on the helmet. Right? Notre Dame is just a gold helmet and a blue jersey and gold pants. It'll say Notre Dame on it or Fighting Irish. Same with, you know, Ohio State and Michigan. It will be massively jarring for people to all of a sudden, if depending how big and splashy these patches may be, if all of a sudden that's the only wording on your jersey. And it changes every 5 years or 10 years or whatever.
Oh yeah. I mean, some of these companies that jump in, right? But there it is. No, you have to name it or else they won't call it that. Cause like, they've done that with the stadiums.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
TD Garden, right? They call it Garden or the TD doesn't, you know? So now it's like, it's crypto.com stadiums and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know what the cost difference would, the price difference would be with if you went All-State Big 12 versus All-State 12, but I'm guessing it's significant enough.
Yeah, yeah. It is funny, though. You're right, Ross. Like that, we are largely to blame for because we don't go along with these corporate names. I remember when I was at ESPN and I would write the bold dash and write cover everything, they made me include the corporate name because ESPN, of course, sponsored all the bowl games. Televised right. all the bowl games.
They owned, right? They yeah, owned like, a bunch. They owned of most yeah. of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would either have to look it up or I would just make the editors look it up and put it in for
me. You remember when the Staples Center became Crypto.com Arena, Staples Center in LA? And it was a 20 years they had been the Staples Center. They had like a, they had like an event to talk about the, like a memorial to go over great moments in Staples Center history. They did. There was some kind of.
And Staples is, of course, a, you know. Staples is a business name.
Right. That's a business. But the building wasn't actually going anywhere.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You close Yankee Stadium. You're like, hey, you know, this is where, yeah, we're going to open another Yankee Stadium, but Babe Ruth didn't play there. I get it. But this was like, it's the, all you did was change the signs. Nothing else changed.
This naming rights debate has sparked quite a conversation on social media from fans of what they want their league, what title sponsor they'd like their league to change to. It's been interesting. You know, the Buc-ee's SEC, the Waffle House SEC, those things have been bantered about. I think it's interesting. I obviously Allstate doesn't have really any, I don't think, any geographic link to the Big 12 footprint. I didn't really look it up. I don't know if you guys know. I have no idea like where their central hub is. Maybe it's Dallas. I have no idea. But you know, you would think that by conference, the way this debate was going was maybe linking it, you know, to geography. How about the Bojangles ACC?
It's bow time.
Or just the Bojangles conference, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think Allstate is Chicago.
Chicago.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. Heart of the Big Ten. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is gonna be
yes, I mean, if the SEC isn't going to grab Waffle House, then the Sun Belt.
Somebody, we need a Waffle yeah. House. Come
scattered, the scattered, yeah. smothered Sun Belt.
The trophy could be
presented by yeah. Waffle House.
The trophy could be scattered, smothered. I mean, there's so many opportunities here.
Yeah,
yeah. For the comedy, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. So hopefully, you guys, rattle that can in college athletics and just keep on persevering during these tough times, folks. You can make it.
Trying to make ends meet.
You can make
Dan.
It. It's tough out there. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough with everything going up, all your rights.
It is tough salaries. When you're paying a bad offensive coordinator 2 years of buyout because you gave him a 3-year contract and he sucked. Oh, well.
And paying him the amount of money, right, that that probably would sustain multiple Olympic sport programs yeah, for right. a couple years. Yeah.
Gave him $1.9 million for 3 years.
Or like, 5. Yeah, like 7. 33 engineering scholarships to try to help, you know. Hey, what is this? What are we?
$76 million to Jimbo Fisher. That is the same amount needed probably to fund all of Texas A&M's Olympic sports for, I'm guessing, at least multiple years, you know.
Sure.
Multiple sure. years, so.
Yeah, cool. Wow. Tough break for them. Maybe Jimbo can sponsor something.
Yeah. Maybe he'll donate back some yeah, of the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I doubt it.
Yeah. yeah good chance probably, of that.
They had two ranches.
That was remember
two
that,
ranches.
Did I mention that? Did I mention that on the pod at some point? I may have mentioned that during the NCAA the settlement with House, the back pay, the $2.77 billion will go to, you know, whatever, 15,000-20,000 athletes. And one of the commissioners of the smaller 22 leagues, who they are paying a lot of that money, they're paying 60% of that back pay, asked me, do you think any of those athletes would just donate that money back to us so we can yeah. like, yeah, that's how it works. I'm sure that will happen. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Sure. Trevor Lawrence is going to get like a $50,000 check and say, you know what? The Ivy yeah. League really needs this back.
The Ivy League would be the one that could not sell its rights, right?
Yeah, that would be the one.
It's too much money in the prestige of an Ivy. You cannot change the Ivy League. Not for sale. I don't know. We'll get like the Saudi Arabian fund or something would have to come in on that. But like Live Golf.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that'd be the one league.
The Ivy League would be the last stand against a renamed
league. Yeah, it's too much brand. You couldn't afford it. You can't afford it. All right, we'll be back after this message. All right, a little football here. I thought this was interesting on CBSSports.com. David Cobb wrote this. The last 10 national champions in college football, the last 10, which is basically the playoff era, the whole playoff era, each one had this in common. They returned, entering the season that they won the championship. They entered that season with three of these four positions returning, or they had these four things were going on. They returned their head coach, so no rookie coach won it, no coach at a new job. They returned their offensive coordinator. They returned their defensive coordinator, or they returned a quarterback who started at least four games the season before. So they needed three of those four things. So you could be without your defensive coordinator, but you got the other three. Could have a new quarterback, I guess. It must have happened. But you had all your coaching stuff. So they call it like this, the core of the team. Head coach, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, quarterback. They had those four things. Each team had three of them. Many of them had four. So who knows if this is, you know, hey, it's June, right? Okay.
We're scraping. This is a barrel scraper, as I would call it. But it's interesting.
Kind of interesting, right?
We're all looking for a formula to figure out who's going to win.
Listen, David Cobb, you did something. You did something. So good job. So we'll go through here. Teams that have that.
Yeah.
Georgia Bulldogs. Kirby Smart. Offensive coordinator Mike Bobo. Defensive coordinator Glenn Schumann. And quarterback Carson Beck. They got all four. Texas, Steve Sarkisian, head coach, offensive coordinator Kyle Flood, defensive coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski, I think it is, and then obviously Quinn Ewers as their quarterback. They are both 4-for-4.
And those are the teams that really don't need to be 4-for-4.
It probably don't. Yeah,
right. You don't want the Texas and Georgias to be 4-for-4 on this.
No, a little scary. Now, the intriguing one here would be Ohio State only has two. Chip Kelly is in place as the offensive coordinator, and they will be. They have Will Howard playing quarterback. Now, he started four games, just not for Ohio State. So I wonder if this stuff. I'm not going to just write. That's it, Buckeyes. You're done. You got no shot. No, I mean, hold on now.
But Dan, what is the you didn't mention like. The champions of the last X amount of years have had this, right?
10 straight.
Didn't you say
10 years?
10 straight. All 10. Oh, okay. I must have missed that. Okay.
10 for 10.
Wow.
So Ohio State would be your favorite to break this. They are not in the they only have two. Again, was Ryan Day really I'm not sure that offensive coordinator Chip Kelly, I mean, Ryan Day was kind of the offensive coordinator. Right, he was called. I'm not sure, but
he was calling.
Intriguing.
It.
They don't have that.
Right.
Other contenders. Oregon has three. They got all their coaches back, and they're putting Dylan Gabriel in for Bo Nix. So Dylan Gabriel is the one that's missing.
Dylan Gabriel has started 400 college games, so just in different uniforms.
Missouri is 3-for-4. They got Eli Drinkwitz, Kirby Moore is the offensive coordinator, quarterback Brady Cook, and a defensive coordinator is Corey Batoon for Blake Baker. Florida State is 3-for-4. They had all their coaches. They have DJU coming in for Jordan Travis. And then this one's kind of interesting. 4-for-4, Ole Miss Rebels. Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss Jr., Pete Golding, and quarterback Jackson Dart. Other notables outside of the threshold, Ohio State, obviously most notable. Penn State is 2-for-4. Alabama is 1-of-4. All they got's a quarterback. Oklahoma's 1-of-4. LSU's 1-of-4. Michigan and Washington, 0-for-4. They got nobody. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, again, and it's one thing sports writers do. I have tried to do this stuff like with basketball or with football is to find, you know, okay, this establishes a trend, a probability or whatever of who can win a championship. And you can come up with all kinds of formulas. I like this one because I do think continuity helps. And we've talked even transfer quarterbacks in general. The second year your transfer quarterback is your guy tends to be the better year. That was the case for Washington with Michael Penix. That was the case for Oregon with Bo Nix. It was the case for LSU with Joe Burrow. And so on and so forth. So getting continuity at a time when there's less and less of it, I think would be a very valuable commodity. So I'm in with David Cobb.
All right.
George is going to win it all.
I love Dan's like, hey, it's something. I mean, we're not talking about effing congressional hearings
we did 30
anymore,
minutes.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. They passed the bill that we already hyped that.
We didn't get to that, did we? Yeah, we'll get back to that. Man, the teams you don't want to, as I mentioned earlier, to satisfy these four things are the Georgias and the Texas who have so much talent already and are certainly feels like peaking as programs. So that's going to be interesting. Ole Miss is an interesting one too because we know how good that Lane Kiffin has handled the transfer portal and how often they get incredible amounts of talent, it seems, out of there. So it's interesting. I wonder who the last team was to win a national championship and not satisfy three of those four things.
Well, so 2013 was Florida State, which had a redshirt freshman quarterback named Jameis Winston. And I don't remember staff-wise, like from a quarterback.
So since 1998, just three of the 26 national champions.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Listen.
Man, David Cobb did a lot of work here.
That's a couple days.
So Florida State in 2013. LSU in 2007. Now that was the two loss, never lost in regulation.
That was a. They were nothing applies to 2007.
Yeah, that season.
Like, that was just such a bad.
And then the 2001 Miami Hurricanes, because they didn't quite have it because Larry Coker moved from offensive coordinator to head coach, so it's kind of two spots. Because Butch Davis says, but that defense, the continuity was the defense.
Ed Reed, Warren Sapp, whoever was on that defense, kind of they declared all formulas null.
Anyway,
and void.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of work too. It is that's a lot of work. I commend Mr. Cobb.
Yeah. So I don't know. I find that Ole Miss one very interesting. I think they are a very very intriguing. Yeah. Team, but I agree. I think especially coaching staff continuity, you know, I think it's a big deal. And I think if you look last year at the way Washington and just take Washington and Michigan as your champions, those two teams were just such teams. Like they just maxed out what they could do so well. And I think that's why particularly Michigan, which went through so much like mayhem, self-inflicted for the most part, but mayhem none the two different suspensions of their head coach, right? Sharon Moore had a suspension. Like they had Jack Harbaugh technically coaching the team at one point, right? I mean, they had everything go on and they just sort of plowed through it because they were in place of what they were doing. Nothing could rattle them. And Washington very similarly maxed out what they were in terms of talent and all that. So somewhat interesting. All right. Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge update.
No, here we go.
Rocco's is the pizza joint in Omaha that a stroke of genius, decided to start selling. They sold Jello Shots, I'm sure, but they made it a contest. And of course, college sports fans lost their marbles trying to win which school. They have a little board at the Rocco's. $5, you buy a Jello Shot. and you declare it for each team. It's in the College World Series, and they keep stat, they keep a chart, and they put on social media, and it's gone bananas. Last year, they raised $142,464 for campus food banks of all the participating teams, and then some for the food bank for the Heartland in Omaha. I think they're too generous. The owner should just keep
We talked about that. You were like down on the owner.
I respect the owner, but in the spirit of we're just talking about the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl. Everyone else in college athletics pillages the coffers and then tries to claim poverty. Yeah. This guy's actually helping poverty. It's the only good person in college. We ain't got any money. I got a $2.6 million bonus coming in here. We better sell the field. Threaten to throw the wrestlers off campus. This guy's like, I don't need the money, man. He's a pizza shop in Omaha. How much money can he have?
He needs to sell like the shot board that they take the picture of with the shot tally. He needs to sell advertising on that. Mm-hmm. We need the Allstate Rocco's pizza board.
Absolutely.
Or shot board.
What's the famous in Omaha? What's the famous steak place? Drover? The Drover. The Drover. Drover's Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge.
There you go. Cross promotion. Yeah,
he should at least have a liquor sponsor, right? Like the Jello Shots made from Tito's or something like that. Yeah.
Jello Shot Challenge. Yeah, these
Tito's Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge. Kind of almost rolls off
Swofford
the tongue.
And Delaney are just cackling and as they bathe in the cash. This guy's doing it for charity? What? Oh son, it's naive. Anyway, go Big Orange. Forget it. 8,556 for Tennessee. They haven't doubled them. Texas A&M is 4,700. Kentucky 4,500. North Carolina 4,000. Basically 4,100. Then we got Florida State 3,300. Florida coming in sixth at 2,600.
Wow. Disappointing
NC State, 2,000.
Yeah.
Getting doubled by Carolina. And then Virginia, 1,284. I think we could have.
That was the most predictable last
Stanford
place.
Stanford was the one. Last year's.
Well, yeah. But out of
Virginia takes terrible effort. Stanford was like
Virginia
bottles of like a good Merlot. Like, we win that, but yeah.
And that's, I could see, Virginia fans walking in. Do you have a Chablis
shot?
So
we said on the pod
a couple. Chablis flavor.
Chablis. A little dry. Not 2018. That was an El Nino.
Very poor year.
Predicted Tennessee was going to win, and they are certainly going to win. But most disappointing performance, Pat?
NC State, I mean, should be super excited to be there and large fan base. I would have thought better of them. I said Kentucky was a good dark horse, and they're at least third. In the mix at third, but NC State should not be seventh.
I know we expected Virginia to be last. I didn't know that they would be last by almost 1,000 Jello shots. God. Brutal.
Florida Gators, come on.
Yeah,
what's your excuse?
Bad showing,
what is the Gators?
Yeah, that's probably the most surprising one, I guess. Yeah. Go Gator.
Need more out of you people.
By the way, Tennessee's got a little bit of an advantage. I don't know if we talked about this on the pod, but their NIL collective, which is one of the probably more heavily staffed, aggressive, you might say, NIL collectives in the country. Basically, they're doing a special that's involved with the Rocco Jello Shot Challenge. Fans are paying double per shot, $10 per shot, and half of that is going to the NIL collective's NIL efforts. So that's probably a pretty good incentive. Hey, double it up.
We'll be back,
and we'll take half. Yeah. Go to the funding the roster, and then. Half will go to Rocco's, and hey, we can get on the leaderboard here.
Yeah, Tennessee doesn't miss a trick.
No, they are on it. All right, important podcast news. We're here with a celebrity. Joe DeLeon is our producer. And Joe is not a very good fantasy football player. In fact, he finished last in his league. Finished last, and he had to do a punishment. The punishment he carried out on Saturday, the punishment was he had to sit inside a McDonald's for 24 hours.
No.
Yes. What? Joe had to sit inside a McDonald's for 24 hours. However, he could consume various items from the McDonald's menu to decrease his time.
Okay. All right.
I love this.
It's as stupid as it sounds.
Welcome, Joe. We're glad you're still alive. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How much weight did you get in the 24 hours?
I haven't checked. I am afraid to check and find out how much weight I've got. I do feel fatter. I will say that.
Right. He had 7,000 calories.
Whoa. McDonald's won't be sponsoring the College Football Inquirer anytime soon.
I'm loving it. Well, they should, because how many other podcasts have a guy willing to fight through and consume 7,000 calories of McDonald's? So let's say you could have cut your 24 hours down by like 45 minutes by having a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. Okay, you could have 30 minutes for the Egg McMuffin, 45 for the Sausage McMuffin with egg, different ones, 30 minutes for the Sausage Burrito, Big Mac, 45 minutes. Quarter pounder with cheese, 60. So if you ate 20, I mean, it'd take like a couple hours, but let's say you ate 22 double quarter pounders with cheese, you're out. You're in, you're out. It's an easy afternoon.
You're out of life. I mean, in the hospital.
I didn't make the rule.
How long did it take? And what all did you eat?
I was in and out of there in 8 hours. So I said this.
Wow.
I told you this was good. You think these other podcasts got a guy who can fight harder than us? We got adversity.
To be fair, I think Sean would have gotten out of there a lot quicker than me. Sean's a lot bigger than me.
That's just a Saturday.
No, exactly. That's what he said.
We've had some aggressive eating producers.
Yeah, so. Sean Sullivan. Sean Sullivan never saw a veggie.
No.
I tracked the whole thing on Twitter, and the first video I posted, I said that I'm too competitive to just sit there and get in and out in 14 hours. A buddy of mine who came in last place previously, it took him 14. He's a lot smaller than I am. 8 hours was the goal, and I hit it. And the total consumption was two big breakfasts with hotcakes, 17 hash browns, 23 apple slice packets.
Let's start.
Yeah, the hash browns were a mistake.
Go ahead.
You have to consume everything too on the plate. Is somebody watching you? What is this?
An honor system? A buddy was supposed to come watch me, and he got stuck in traffic, so he showed up at the end. So there was nobody holding
eight
me.
8 hours of traffic?
8 hours.
He was driving up from San Diego. He left in the middle of the day. It took him 5 hours to get there.
Okay. Jeez.
What are you doing today? I'm driving to a McDonald's in L.A. Okay, so the big breakfast. What is in the big breakfast? For not all of us get the – fortunately – we want our listeners live because we need them.
I don't think I'll ever consume one of these again. It was three thin pancakes,
The hot cake,
an egg mix, an English muffin with nothing on it, two really small pieces of bacon, and then this cubed scramble egg.
Probably like two eggs in there. So eggs. The big breakfast isn't even that big.
Two, one and a half, something like
okay.
that.
Yeah. Okay, so you had two of those, and that. Wait, I have the chart. Let's see. What the big breakfast with hotcakes? You'd lose 2 hours, 120 minutes.
That was really. I should have had more of those. That was my biggest mistake. I went all in on the hash browns, and those they were greasy.
McDonald's hash brown is that fried like. I don't like that. I'm not a hash brown guy. 25 minutes, you get off the clock.
And you did 18 of those?
17.
Okay, so 17. Tell us.
I was capped on the amount of that I was allowed to eat at the house.
Why?
Okay.
So I got an argument with my buddy who put this spreadsheet together. There was a lot of thought put into this.
I'm not. Yeah. We used to be friends. He said I could only eat 17 hash browns in one day.
Well, he's an ass. He was trying to make this as hard as possible for me and for my other buddy who did this. And I got in this argument because there's only 160 calories in it and it's 25 minutes off. So I was arguing with him. The calories are not equitable to the amount of grease and just disgustingness of these things. So
I don't believe that that only has 130. Really?
I don't either. After
that
I said it's
a disaster,
things,
it like soaks
it.
Through the little.
But they're small. They're so small, right? They're pretty tiny.
Yeah. I mean, it
probably didn't feel tiny. Shove it in there.
All right. So when you get 17 hash browns, wait, do you order like five at a time? Like, well, how does this work?
I ordered ahead on the app, so I was trying to get
points. Got to get your points.
This was my downfall, which I did get an egregious amount of points by the end of this. My downfall was ordering them all ahead of time at once. So I ate like six or seven of them, and then they all fused to the paper. Yeah, it was just a mushy mess. Cold.
You
got to
get them hot.
Soggy. That was my downfall because I had to force myself to eat what was just a pile, an amalgamation of just mushy potatoes for a good 3 hours.
Right, hold on. Now, you could, if you order something, do you have to eat it or could you switch gears?
Yeah,
I could have tossed it.
I mean, how much is a hash brown? A buck?
No, those were like $3. I spent the first order.
$3 for one hash brown? That's not on the dollar thing?
It was a $70 purchase for the hash browns and the two big breakfasts. Yeah, that was killer.
And you had to pay this, or did this come out of your fantasy league's funds?
I had a side bet. No. And I can't. I paid for it, but I had a side bet with the guy who made the spreadsheet. So he's paying me. He's paying me $100 because I made it out of there in 8 hours.
Okay. So you made 30 on that part. Well, I guess that's only the big breakfast.
Yeah,
17.
The points covered the rest of the meals, though, because I had so many points by the end of this.
Okay, so now you. How old are you?
I'm 26.
26. You look to be in reasonable shape. Like you know, there's some exercise involved in your life. So like you were equipped to handle this. We're not set.
Well, I also cheated a little bit in the sense that I went for like a very long run in the morning. I had to create some
cheating
sort of buffer.
Yeah.
So on that note,
that's prep.
Yeah, I was wondering.
It's called training.
What was the level of fasting beforehand?
That's training.
What was the
little bit cheating? This is college football podcast. Cheating would be you found a place that like doesn't, you know, they don't cook it in the heavy peanut oil or whatever they do at this place. All right, so 17 hash browns, and how many calories is it? That alone is 2,000 calories or more.
Wait, I could tell you. I made my own separate spreadsheet.
I'm sure you did.
So I went all PFF on this. I made sure to calculate the best ratio of calories. This is why I fell for the hash browns. I had a ratio of calories to minutes taken off, and the hash browns are the best one. But it says I consumed 2,300 calories just worth of the hash browns.
Anyway, so all right, after breakfast, you moved on, and then
what
was the intake?
Did you sit for a while then? Like, what?
Yeah,
contemplate your life. What do you do for 8 hours in there, too?
What have I done? I mean, that I've got so many.
Yeah, this is going to go long, folks.
Yeah, this is. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of investigating.
Could have just done this and skipped the damn.
I'm curious about the employees. What did you tell them anything?
Yeah,
no, I didn't say anything. I picked them.
Is it a McDonald's with the homeless? Where the homeless gather? They thought you were a homeless man in the corner.
Really hungry.
I was worried. I was worried that was going to happen. That they thought I was like camping out because I had nowhere to stay.
Yeah.
I thought that I was a little bit put together enough that they wouldn't think that.
In California, they call them unhoused, Ross. Unhoused.
Unhoused. Sorry.
I think the first like 6 hours they didn't notice, and then the last 2 hours I took a radio spot on VSiN, and I was kind of loud. So they definitely figured out what I was doing at that
so
point.
So you're doing a radio show from the McDonald's. What McDonald's is this?
Yeah. It was the one in like Century City.
Okay.
So it was like near Santa Monica, Beverly Hills, kind of in the middle of
West Side, LA.
But they didn't notice. I was hiding from them because they didn't want them to know what I was doing.
No. All right. So, all right. What's for lunch?
The lunch was apples. I ate 23 packets of apples. So I said
5 minutes per apple per apple slice pack.
Good God.
Yeah, there was not much return.
That's like the healthiest thing at McDonald's, probably.
Yeah.
By far.
So 23.
But that's it. No cheeseburgers, no quarter pounder, no Big Mac.
The McChickens, I only had four of those. That was the culmination. I went so all in on the breakfast that I kind of had to sit there and wait for a little bit and just kind of wait for it to digest. It also took me, I think, like 4 hours just to finish the hash browns because, again, they were mush. So I had to kind of slowly every 20 minutes try to eat one of them and then kind of sit and wait a little bit. But in the meantime, I had so many people responding to me on Twitter, so that was all I was doing the whole time, was just goofing off on Twitter the whole day.
You were entertaining yourself by entertaining yourself.
Right, yeah. Right.
All right, so you got one hour and 55 minutes off for the apples. Was my math correct?
For 23? I mean, yeah,
five minutes. Okay, right. And then you got 425 minutes McChickens.
Four McChickens.
So what is that? That's 7 hours off for the hash browns, right? 42 and then like a half, 7.5 hours. Yes. And then 4 hours.
Four for the breakfast.
And then you did 10 McChicken sandwiches?
No,
four McChickens.
10 would have been brutal.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I
turned into a chicken by then.
And how much did you get for that? Oh, 45 minutes. So that's 3 hours.
That was a cheat code.
That was the one? The McChicken is the deal? With the mayo on it?
Is that fried?
Oh, yeah.
It's a little breaded.
What isn't fried?
But the patty's so small. So it's like eating a cheeseburger. Yeah. It's very... Yeah. I think if in retrospect...
You ate the bread too?
Yeah, I had to eat all of it. I couldn't skip this. But in retrospect, I think what I would have done differently, I would have done more McChickens because they were easy to eat. And I probably would have done more of the big breakfasts because, again, those were light and they were a ton of minutes that were taken off for eating them.
Yeah, yeah.
Joey Chestnut ate 44 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes once. Now, you would get 10.
5 minutes?
You would only get 30 minutes off for 10. So that only would have gotten them a couple hours. I wonder how Joey would have attacked this. He also did the Big Macs that were some crazy. He's got a bunch of McDonald's.
Yeah. So, all right. Next question. Okay, you've evaded the suspicion of the McDonald's staff. How many times did you need to use the facilities along the way?
I was thinking of this too. Yes. Yes. Eating that stuff, you're probably clogged up.
Yeah. Might still be.
It got to a point in the middle of the day where I definitely a break needed to be worked in. I luckily only had to do it once because that bathroom was not very clean,
well,
as one could imagine.
That's the other thing. Look where you're doing this.
I will say the bathroom trip definitely helped. That was definitely probably the biggest buffer. Oh yeah. Yes.
There's some space. Very good.
No, and like when you walked out of there, I'm sure you were rejoicing that you made it out, but how did you feel physically?
The first 2 hours after this, I was extremely groggy. I didn't feel like terrible. And the whole next day, I didn't feel terrible. I think I've eaten worse than this before. I used to be much fatter than I am right now. As surprising as that sounds as I sat there and did this, I was very groggy. I was very lethargic. The brain fog yesterday and immediately after was brutal. Like putting together a sentence was impossible to do because of all of the backed up grease that my body was trying to go through. It was like, you're not using any energy on your brain for the rest of today.
You could not put a sentence to, like, if you had gotten pulled over by the cops, would they?
They would have thought I was drunk.
They would have suspected you were drunk, and you're like, no, I just had easily. I just had
just ate 8 hours of McDonald's.
Yeah.
I failed to feel so. That would have been the funniest court
I might have
case.
Been in jail because I've been acting weird.
The funniest thing since Scotty Scheffler. Like, oh, officer.
What did you drink?
Just water. Yeah, I'm not wasting any calories
you get
on
off
anything else.
Like a McFlurry.
No, you could get a deal on that. You could get some minutes off.
Did you need caffeine? Did you need coffee or Diet Coke or anything?
I was debating the caffeine, but like I didn't want to do... Like I was worried what that was going to do to my stomach. You know, like I didn't want to have to rush to the bathroom for more than one trip. I didn't want to...
Only 25 minutes for a milkshake. That's not a fair deal. Also...
Yeah, there was a lot of arguing over that.
You could get 5 minutes off if you went in the ball pit.
There was no ball pit. I was pissed. I wanted to go and sit in the ball pit at least once just for the joke of sitting in the ball pit. But the one I found didn't have one.
Oh, that's a shame, too, because if you could have just stayed the whole time and eaten in the ball pit.
There was
pit,
a buffer
counted,
on that.
Right?
There was a buffer on that one, too. I can only do the ball pit once per hour. But
man,
still,
your friend really thought about this seriously, didn't he?
There was a lot of debating.
Yeah. I mean...
Now, wow. my existential question, like, who's screwed you on your fantasy team? Who was bad that you thought was going to be good that left you in this terrible position?
So the full context of this, I put this off by a year. And like I kept kicking it down the road. So this was 2 years ago that I came in last place.
Thank you. We needed the content. So we appreciate you doing it during the slow time of year.
Perfect timing.
Exactly. I know I was smart to time it. I didn't want to do this too close to the end of the season because I don't know if it would have gotten as much recognition for it. But I was the first team out of the playoffs. I was like 7-7, just barely missed the playoffs. And in ESPN and in our league, we've done this every single year where if you lose in that first round, no matter what your record is of the consolation bracket, you have to play in like what's deemed the toilet bowl or just like that last place game. And I played the worst team in the league, and this guy puts up his best performance. But the worst part about this, going into Monday Night Football, I'm down by 30-something points. I've got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and the DeMar Hamlin thing happened. So I didn't get any points for either of those guys. And I don't want to be the ass who puts up a fight over this. So I'm just taking it on the chin and being a good sport. And the guy, you know, the guy who came in, who was the regular season standings, had 3 wins. I kind of let him have it. I kind of let him, you know, go ahead. All right, you can feel good about this, that you won and you beat me. But, I mean, it was worth it in a way. I mean, I doubled my followers on Twitter by just doing this.
Anything for the content. Yeah.
Right.
There so you what'd go. You eat yesterday?
So yeah, you probably couldn't come out and say, man, if that guy
died.
Have the the complete rudeness of almost dying on the field.
What'd you eat yesterday?
Okay. Day yesterday.
Salad.
It was chicken. It was some rice. Okay. It was some fruit. It was as light as I possibly could have gotten.
All right. So quite amazing. I looked up Joey Chestnut's Big Mac record. He ate 32 Big Macs in 38 minutes.
Oh,
wow. Now, according to your chart, you get 45 minutes per Big Mac off. 32 would be 1,440 minutes, which is exactly 24 hours. So he could have eaten 23 of them in 38 minutes, sat there for 7 more, and walked his ass out like no problem.
That's why he's Joey Chestnut.
Like I was trying to explain to someone that's like how good the pro golfers are compared to like good golfer. Like it's another level. Like Joe is clearly a champion McDonald's eater at this point. And it's not like the pros are just another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chestnut. No. I'll be home in about 45 minutes. I got to go knock out this fantasy bet.
One thing I thought about was like, what is the upper limit that I would have had to go to the hospital? Because I wasn't like super full by the end of this thing. And I guess that answers the question. If Joey Chestnut was able to do 32 of the Big Macs.
Could, I mean,
you were smart not to do a lot of that. Did you do any beef, any burgers?
No, that was really smart.
That was probably smart. But also not smart doing 17 hash
browns. You got to go carb low. I would just sit there. The nuggets. I think the nuggets are.
Some of your game plan, good. Some of your game plan, we're terrible.
The pancakes were pretty smart. You know,
I should have gone with more of those. That was my biggest mistake. Should have done a couple more of those.
Yeah, the eggs, just straight eggs.
Either way, I commend you.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us some content here in June.
Yeah, I know. Slow June.
Take a nap. Yeah, get a walk in and drink more water. Good God. That's why I don't play fantasy football, because I'd lose patience after like 3 weeks, and then I'd be last, and next thing you know, I'm dying in a McDonald's ball pit. He went in the ball pit to take 5 minutes off and just drowned.
We never came out. We never saw him again.
This is the bottom, the half-eaten quarter pounder. What a way to go. All right, that's our show. We'll be back later this week with who knows what. Who knows what? It's a mystery. Every show's a mystery this time of year. Talk to you later.